prayer list that I've been praying for this week, and that's Brother Mark. Mark Burr. He probably doesn't want me to say anything about this, but I'm going to do it anyway. It doesn't matter. He had a little accident where he hurt his back this week, and we've been praying for him all week long. Didn't even know if he was going to make it here today. So I tell you, it's just to show you that God's power, how he takes care of you and he can heal you and bring you back to do his work. It's just wonderful to see him up there playing. You know, I did have a great experience last Sunday when I went to that, Brazos River to baptize Justin. It's something I'd never done before. I'd never baptized anyone in a river. I'd never baptized anybody in a creek. It's always been in a controlled environment. You know, I've never once have I ever been washed away by a wash tub. You know, but it came real close. There was one moment that river was going so fast that, you know, Justin and I were holding on to each other for a reason. It's because, I mean, that thing was really moving. We was having to be careful where we put our feet. And he went under the water, and when I lifted him up, that water hit his back, and it was just like a shotgun. I just about lost him. His feet went out from under him, and he's holding on to me, and I was holding on to him. And God, I tell you what, if we had lost each other, he would have been at least a mile down the river before I could spit. It was moving that fast. So God showed up in a mighty way that day, and it was such a blessing to be part of that. And I thank you for that, because it was an experience that I won't soon forget, I promise you. You know, there's a lot of churches, a lot of pastors that are in the pulpit this morning that are afraid to share the true Word of God. They're afraid to give it everything that was intended when Jesus and God sit down and empowered men to write the Bible. There's certain things. Have you ever heard the term feeding milk to a child instead of meat? What does that mean? Have you ever really thought about it? It's about a child usually does not have any teeth, the baby, so you give them milk because that's all they can handle. And it's been known, or at least it's been thought of in the cowboy church and in some churches, that folks are just not able to handle the meat of the true Word of God. Well, I tell you, folks, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of those guys that waters down the gospel. I'm not one of those guys that takes God's Word and tries to make it fit a child. I'm not going to do it. I cannot do it. That's not the way God made me. I have to give you exactly what it says. This morning, the question I have for you is, what do you do when God is silent? I know if you've been a Christian very long, if your walk has been more than just a month or so, you've had this experience where you would be praying for God for something, either for, it could be anything, it could be for healing, it could be for money, it could be a relationship, it could be just about anything that you're praying for God, and you're just not seem to get the word from God that you're looking for. That God is silent, that he doesn't give you the answer right away, or at least in your time frame. We're impatient bunch, aren't we? Just think about it. Man, we want everything fast. You know, we get on the highway, and we get into the city, and we get into a traffic jam, we automatically start getting impatient. We want to go, 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 go. Everything we do, we want it fast. We go to a restaurant, give it to me. I don't want to wait for my food. Just think about it. We are impatient. We live in a fast-paced, everything goes fast, just like that river, right, Justin? I mean, that Brazos River was moving on. But we had to be patient, and we had to walk, be careful where we put our feet, or we would end up down the river somewhere, and everybody's wondering, well, we got to save them. Sucker could drown. But it's not any fun to wait, is it, for anything? And we transfer that impatience onto God. And it's not fun when we're waiting on an answer from God. You know, in my life, I've gone through the same thing. I've had problems in my life, relationships, prayed for money, prayed for direction in my life. And, you know, when Claudia and I were young, we were just a young married couple. We were going to a church in over there off 1906 called Champion Forest Baptist Church. This is a big church, y'all. I'm talking big. And there was a lot of folks. You can get lost in a church like that. It is so huge. And the only way you could connect to people was you got into a Sunday school class. That's the only way that you did. We're talking thousands of people. And that's exactly what we did. We got ourselves plugged into a Sunday school class. And my Sunday school teacher was an ex-football player. He played for the Vikings. Really big. I mean, we got some big guys in here, I grant you. But this guy was a mountain. He was a mountain of a man. I mean, I never seen anything like it. I mean, I'm 6 foot tall and I'm looking up at this. And he was an elderly guy in his 60s and his shoulders were still massive. He was still huge. But he talked and he preached the word. We had a revival and he encouraged Claudia and I to come. We went to this revival and I and Claudia both felt the call to go into the ministry. And we had no idea what that meant. We didn't know what God was going to do, where God wanted us to go. All we knew was is that God said, I want you to come. So we did. We went down and I immediately thought, man, it must be to go in to be a foreign missionary. Because that's what they were talking about in the deal. So I got a hold of the foreign mission board and I said, you know, my wife and I feel like that we're called to go out into the mission field. And he said, well, do you have any preferences? And I said, you know, yeah. I said, I'll go anywhere God wants me to go, but there's just one place I'd rather not go if I didn't have to. And he said, well, where's that? And I said, Africa. He goes, okay. He said, I can understand that. It's a rough country. I said, yeah, you know, I just would rather if I could go anywhere. So we prayed and it was real quick. Within a week or two, the Foreign Mission Board got back in touch with us and said, we've got a place for you to go, for you and your wife. And y'all can start training right away. Guess where it was? Africa. I tell you, I had to get on my knees because I thought, the one place that I didn't want to go, that's where God had opened the door. So I started praying about it and I said, you know, God, you know I don't want to go to Africa with all them lions and tigers and bears. You know, I didn't really care what was there. I was just thinking about, man, it's so desolate. I just didn't want to go there. But I said, after several weeks I just prayed. I finally said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go to Africa. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. And if that's it, I'm ready. Claudia, the same way. Contacted the Foreign Mission Board and they go, oh, well, that position's been filled. I said, really? That quick? He goes, well, we didn't know it, but we already had someone in training and they just stepped up to the plate and they took that position. And so they're already learning the language and everything. And I tell you, you know, there was a moment there where, and I'm being honest, there was a moment there that I went, whew, man, I dodged that bullet, you know. What a blessing. And I was a young Christian. I was thinking, what a blessing, you know. Man, I almost had to go to Africa. You know, that was close. We dodged that bullet. That's a good thing. But then we started saying, well, God, then where do you want us to go? God got silent. God got silent. For 30 years, God was silent on that prayer. 30. started having problems in the church we were going to, and we left because we supported the pastor. Not going to go into any big detail, but they were the church. Some factions in the church was just wrongly attacking the pastor, and I was standing for him. And it was only me and one other man that stood for this pastor. And after all it was done, the pastor finally left, and Claudia and I left too. And we got invited to go to a cowboy church. I felt that there was something there that I was supposed to be a part of, but I was in the situation and the time where I was at. Guess what I said? No. I own nothing to do with cowboy church. I'm sorry. It's just got to be, what do they do? Is the preacher preaching from horseback and he's in the arena or out there in the pasture and folks are sitting in the dirt? What's it like? Had no clue what it was. But when God started speaking to me, my first inclination, get this, was no. That's the last place I want to go. And I find it ironic that the two times where I felt God calling me to do something, that I said no. Anybody ever done that besides me? God called me. I could feel something there, and I knew it, but I was very resistant. I was in a hurt state. I had been through this big battle, and I felt whooped, you know? And here God was offering me something that I had no idea what it was going to turn into. Three years later, a man called me and asked me if I would go and preach at this country church in Costa, Texas. I thought about the two times that I had said no to God, and I did not want, I knew God was doing something, but I was very diligent. I was very careful because I knew God was seeing my heart. I knew that He was doing something in my life, and I didn't want to say no. So I just said, yeah, I'll do it. Not knowing the consequences, not knowing the path, not knowing what God had for me. 30 years later, God called me into the gospel, to share the gospel, to be a minister, to go into the mission field and do His work. For 30 years, He was silent. For 30 years, I did not get the call. And you know, and I even tried to rationalize in mine. I said, you know, maybe it was because I said no. That's not where I was going. I said, well, but no, not really, because I eventually said yes. You know, a couple of weeks later. Maybe it's because, you know, I had sin in my life. And I got to analyze it and realize, I said, well, you know, is He working in your life in other areas? Is He answering your prayers? I said, well, yeah, He's doing that. So I knew that God was doing something in my life. I knew that God was still using me, you know, but He was silent. He was answering other prayers, but He wasn't answering that. So eventually I got to the point where I quit asking. I quit checking my mail. What do you do when you don't get mail in your mailbox? Do you just go, poof, I'm just not going to check that sucker tomorrow. There's no mail in it today, so I'm not going to go look at it. I have to walk all the way out to the road to check that mailbox. It's a lot of work to do it. So I'm just not going to check it no more. It can just fill up. It can just fall out of it. No, man, every day you go. Most of the times when you get a chance, I don't care how far it is, some of you stop on the way to the house. You'll stop and check it. But you don't stop checking it just because you don't get mail one day or 2 days or 3 days. You know, sooner or later, somebody's going to send you some mail, and even if it's a bill, you're going to get some mail. So why do we think that when we don't hear from God on something, that we need to stop asking Him, that we need to stop going to Him in our prayer life and saying, I'm still here, I'm still waiting, but I'm being patient. The thing that you learn about waiting on God is it does cause you to have patience. It teaches you, it strengthens you, it builds you, it builds your character. For 30 years, God was working on me, working on my heart, working on my life, getting me ready for what He had for me to do right here today. I look back and I go, well, why didn't God do it 30 years ago? Because it wasn't His plan. It wasn't His plan for my life at that time. Why doesn't God answer some of the prayers that we ask God to answer for us? It's because He has a plan. And sometimes it takes a while for that plan to come together. In Philippians 4:19, if you would turn there, Philippians 4:19, it says, and this is the same God who takes care of me, will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. You know, our faith is what keeps us going when God is silent. You know, patience is one of the things that I struggle with in my life. I'm getting better at it, but I'm really not patient. I remember the first time I got on my horse and I was going to help a guy work his cows. We were all out there. I just bested right into the middle of them cows. I was in a real hurry. I said, I got to hurry up and get this job done because we got all this other work we got to do. And I just pushed that horse right in there. And as you can imagine what happened, the cows scattered. And the ranch boss pulled me aside and he says, son, don't be so quick. You need to be patient and you need to be soft. And you need to be quiet, and you just need to listen and look at what's going on, and just ease in there. And sometimes you just need to stop and sit back and wait, and they'll do what you want them to do. Just because they're looking at you and they can see you're there, you position your horse in the right place, they'll naturally move away from it. But don't just bust in there like gangbusters. Because you cause this terrible wreck. You can get hurt, the cows can get hurt, and we don't want either one of those to happen. You, I don't care about. You can get hurt, but I don't want your horse to get hurt because he ain't yours, he's mine. And I don't want my cows to get hurt. So quit being so dang impatient. So I had to learn it. I had to wait. And has anybody ever done that? Has anybody ever had to wait for something to happen? Wait for something to come into place. Wait for God to do something in your life. Do something in someone else's life. We get so impatient. In Romans 8:28 it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. We always forget that last part. That are called according to His purpose for them. I hope and pray that it doesn't take 30 years for God to answer a prayer that you're praying for. But it could. Some of us may not have 30 years. I don't know. But it might take the rest of your life for God to do what He wants to do in your life. You know, I used to, I also had this feeling, maybe God doesn't love me as much as He loves this other guy. This other guy seems to have everything going for him. Everything's going for him. Man, he's got money. He's got position. He's got all these things. He's got a good, in my life, and I'm thinking as a young man, he's got a good looking wife. You know, hey, you know, he's got it all. You got a brand new truck. Man, he's got 3 or 4 horses. Wow. Man, this dude is, God is really blessing him. Maybe God loves him more than He loves me. But this is something I had to deal with. I had to think about it. So do you believe that God loves me more than He loves you? Think about it. Don't answer quick. Do you honestly think that the God who gives unconditional love, I'm talking about unconditional, that He gave His Son life for you and for me, that He loves me more than He loves you? No. Not no, but no. He doesn't. He loves each and every one of us. Each and every one of us is a special gift from God. Everyone is special. Everyone is unique. God does not make junk. We used to tell this to the kids. God don't create junk. God always creates the best. It's always the best. And each and every one of us is different. Each and every one of us is special in God's eyes. And He loves each and every one of us the same. Now, when we're talking about God being silent, then I'm talking about when you've already confessed your sins, you're prayed up, you're asking God. It's not that you're out of whack with God, that there's something between you and God. I'm talking about you're prayed up, you've confessed your sins, and you are in His will, but yet still God is silent. That's the time I'm talking about. That's when the devil starts working on your head and saying, you know, He must not love you because He's not answering your prayer. There must be something that you're doing wrong. That's the reason that He's not answering your prayer. You're not living right. So you might as well just do what you want to do. This stuff about living the Christian life, it's hard. So you might as well just do that thing that you really want to do. That's Satan. He tries to put things in your head. He jacks with your head and mind all the time, trying to get you when you're in those times of wondering where God is. But God is saying, I'm here. I am always here. I haven't gone anywhere. It's just that He has a plan for you, and He has a plan for me. The word that I use for a lot of times is the word unique. Each and every one of us are unique. And I kind of had an idea what that word meant, but I went to the Webster's Dictionary and I looked up the word unique to see what it had to say about it. It says that it's being the only one. When you're unique, you are the only one. And it says being without equal, meaning that there's not another one equal to you, not another one like you. You are totally different than anyone else. So God doesn't make two of you. I've heard it said that there's someone that looks like you somewhere in the world. Man, I feel sorry for that sucker that looks like me. But for a lot of you, that's a good thing. But me, I know. I would not want to have another face like this on someone else. But God made you unique. All alone. There's no one like you. And He loves you unconditionally. So when you're praying to Him, you need to remember that God does love you, and He doesn't love anyone else any more than He loves you. Now, does He bless other people sometimes more than He blesses you? That's a whole different message, because that is true. Because in the Bible, it shows where God blesses someone like Abraham. He just poured blessings on him. Everything that happened with Abraham, it just seemed like it just worked out. But that's a different message. That's because of His faithfulness to God. When God is silent and we're waiting for Him to answer us, it's hard. It doesn't mean He doesn't love us. It doesn't mean He doesn't care about you. You know, I know for a fact that God loves you. And I know for a fact that God loves me. So we need to be what? Patient. Patience is something that none of us really wants to have. think about it. You really don't want to go through patience, because what does it take to get patience? You got to go through trials and troubles and tribulation to get to gain patience. So I used to, people would come to me and say, you know, how do I get patience, Pastor? How do I do that? I want to immediately say, please don't pray for patience. Because I've done that, and boy, when I did, just, I mean, all kinds of things started happening in our life, and I'm going, oh, wait a minute, I think I have really messed up. I should not have asked for that one thing. I should ask for wisdom. So I asked for wisdom. Well, guess what? To get wisdom, you have to go through some things. I'm sitting there going, man, God, just start working in my life. I don't really want to have to go through what it takes to gain patience. But each and every one of us as a Christian, in our Christian walk, that's what we have to do. When trials and tribulations and things come into our life, when we start praying to God, and we start seeing God work, that's when we start developing that little critter called patience and how important it is in our lives. Just don't forget, though, that God loves you, and He cares about you, and He will answer your prayer. What are the three things that, the answers that you get from God? Yes? No? And what's the other? Wait. Oh boy, don't you hate that one? Wait. Nobody wants to wait nowadays. Like I said, we all want to go fast. I think about Melinda Scott, and she was giving her testimony last Sunday, and thinking about what she was going through as she was laying there injured in that ski accident. At that moment when she knew that she was hurt, and she had no control over the situation whatsoever, she had to have, she had the forewith or the ability in her mind through with her faith to say, I know I don't have this, but I know God does, and there's a reason for everything. And even with the odds totally against her, even making it alive down that mountain, God saw fit to show up and answer a prayer in a mighty way. And here she is, able to stand up and give her testimony all over this part of the country. That's powerful. It shows you the not only the healing power of God, but what God has control over. Life, death, makes no difference. He has the power over all of it. So when you pray, be patient when you talk to God, because He can bring back to life what He chooses and allow to die the same way with His divine power. Why is God sometimes silent? I don't know. Other than I know that He's working something out in my life, that He's doing some plan, He's fulfilling it. When I pray for Common Ground Cowboy Church, I pray for not only each individual, but I pray for you as a group, and I say, God, man, what is it that we need to do to spark such a fire under people's, excuse my French, but their butts and their soul that they want to get on fire for the Lord? I had two guys from the AFCC at the Ranch House School yesterday said, how goes it at Common Ground Cowboy Church? I stopped for a second and I said, you know, I think things are going good. I said, but to be honest, I didn't really know the hurt and the pain that they had gone through because I wasn't there. I said, I didn't see and I didn't get to experience what they experienced. I came in afterwards. And I said, and it's taken them a while to get to trust me, to know that I'm not going to do anything to lead them down the wrong path, that I'm going to give them the truth. I said, it's taken a while, but I said, I think, I really truly believe that the the eggshell has been broken. It's cracked, and it God is starting to flow, and people are starting to get healed, and people are starting to get excited about serving God again. And they just sit there with this look on their face like, man, I wish I hadn't asked. You know, they didn't know what to say. They were going, well, wow. I mean, I guess they wanted me to say, yeah, everything's going good. That's what we always do. When I ask you, I call you, or I see you, and I say, how you doing? You know, I'm fine. I'm doing good. And I always stop and go, now tell me, how are you really doing? And then they tell me exactly what's going on in their life. We're always quick to give the short answer. Everything's good. I'm going through hell right now in my life. Everything's falling apart. I got a brace on my back, I got a brace on my neck, I've got cancer, I've got this going on, but I'm good. We need to lift each other up in prayer, y'all. 2 weeks ago, I had everyone stand in a circle and look at each other and promise that they would pray for it. They told each other across there that they'd pray for each other. To me, it was a powerful service where God showed up in a mighty way. This morning, I'm not going to get you to stand up, hold hands again. But I want you to remember something. Did you do what you said you would do? Did you pray for the person that was across from you over there? Did you pray for the one that was next to you, beside you, the one just down? Did you really do what you said you'd do? A lot of times we say a lot of things, and a lot of times we don't do it. As soon as we get out of their sight. I'm praying this morning, y'all, that you will remember the commitment that you made and you will pray for each other. Lift each other up in prayer because you don't know what's going on in their life, really. You think you do. You think you know what's going on, but you really don't know what that person is going through. And they need God's prayer just as much as you do. In their life and what things are happening in their life. So let's just stand right quick. I'm not going to get you to hold hands, but let's just have a word of prayer. Let's just remember to pray for each other. Remember to love each other. To remember when in our prayer life that sometimes it takes a while for God to answer our prayers. Sometimes it takes, hopefully not 30 years, but if it does, that we will be patient enough to wait on God and not rush in and try to do it ourselves. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord. I just pray, Father, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here this morning, for the Holy Spirit that's speaking to our hearts, Father, through your word and through this message. Lord, I just lift everyone up here that's here this morning, Lord, as they're going through life. They're just the daily grind of trying to make it through the day, make it the next hour, just to make it through the next minute, Lord. I just ask you, Father, as they pray, as I pray, Father, that you will be diligent as you always are, Father. To meet our needs, to meet everything that we ask for, Father, that's according to your will. I just pray, Father, that you would answer that prayer and that you'd show up in a mighty way. I just thank you for this body of believers, Lord, that are gathered here this morning. And for those that couldn't be here this morning because of some prior commitment or something going on in their life, Father, I just lift up everyone that's a member here, Lord, and those that are going to be members to this body of Christ. I just ask you, Father, that each and every one of us, including me, Lord, would get so on fire for you and for what you want to do, that we will do anything that you ask us to do, Lord, that we would be willing to serve even when it's something that we don't know anything about. Because we know that you don't always pick men or women, Lord, that are trained in a field. I'm a prime example of that. And I thank you, Lord, that you use me in the inferior way than that I do it. I'm not the greatest speaker, Father. I'm not the greatest theologian. Lord, I am so inadequate in so many ways, but you still seem to use me in spite of myself. I ask you, Lord, to use each and every one of these folks that are a part of the body of Christ at Common Ground. Father, use them in spite of themselves. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Don't forget about the deal for Melinda Scott, the can in the back over there.